Imagine this right here. Imagine if 50,000 people all bought two books. You know how many veterans I could actually feed, clothe, put shoes on their feet and everything else? And that's the bigger difference. People think 50,000 is a big number. It really isn't, because the moment you tell somebody and they tell somebody and they tell somebody, hey, go to Amazon, get a couple books from this author. He's a veteran also, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, all of a sudden now you got 50, 100,000, 200,000 people. That's 200,000. Think about it. Some cities, their population is 200,000. You're talking about people in different states combining. That's all it takes. Because now the more that comes in and we all collaborate together, just like what you're doing.
Before we get started, I wanted to give a huge shout out and a massive thank you to each and every member of our listener support program. Without you, this podcast doesn't happen, so your support truly means the world to me and to the mission. If you're interested in joining the listener support program, follow the link in the show notes, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome to Your Story Doesn't End Here, the mental health podcast of military and veterans who refuse to be silenced. I'm your host, Rachel, and my mission with this podcast is to be a voice for those who don't have a voice, bring awareness to mental health issues, provide value and solutions, and to change the culture when it comes to mental health within the DoD organizations. Hey, hey, everyone, and thank you so much for coming back for another episode of Your Story Doesn't End Here. Today, we have Manswell T. Peterson as our guest. Manswell has endured many challenges in his life, and he decided to put those experiences to good use by writing novels as an adult. In 2007, Peterson debuted with an eye-opener, Am I a Priority in Your Life or an Option?, a novel that provides an inside look on the male perspective of juggling women. Also released in the same year was One Last Cry, which was well-received by the reading public. Fascinated with the feedback readers were providing, Manswell penned Love Stories Number One, One Last Cry, Confessions of the Other Man in spring 2008. Seeing the results of what a man could bring to the literary community, Manswell decided to delve deeper with another persona, Dark Chocolate. Dark's mystery remained cloaked with a logo that kept his online fans wanting more. And upon the debut of the Cougar Club in 2009, Dark's fans were following his voice with a successful online radio show that captivated hundreds of listeners. Sexy erotica adventures held their attention as they patiently waited for the conclusion. And for the next 2 years, Manswell decided to work on himself. He ended the radio show and pursued higher education. Upon completing his education, he decided to write his memoirs and signed with New Sherte Publishing in June 2011. Tracks of My Tears was released in June 2012. Tracks of My Tears made him a best-selling author. Tracks of My Tears was re-released in December 2013 to Manswell Peterson Studios / Publishing Company. Manswell is now founder of his own company, Omega Man Publishing and Manswell Peterson Studios, and he has written over 40 books. His latest creation is the Locrodom Universe. This paranormal fantasy series will have over 200 books. The first 11 books have already been published. Locrodom Academy is the YA series. There are 6 books so far. He also has a children's series, Braylon and Bear and Friends, Braylon the Bear and Friends, excuse me, with his wife, Latanya. The new magical fantasy series, Charmcasters, will debut in July 2023. He's married to his lovely wife, Dr. Latanya Peterson. He has 2 sons, Manswell II and Braylon, who are his joy. He is a disabled Navy veteran and a proud member of the Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated. Manswell, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh man, thank you for having me. It's such an honor to be here. Just so excited to tell this part of the story. And it's crazy, it's cool, but it's fun, but it's also sad, but it's also encouraging. Literally, the Navy saved my life. That was way back in 1990. Talk about aging yourself, huh? It was 1990. I finished high school early. I was what you call a geek. So I didn't have to go to the second half of my senior year. So I was like, look, when you're dealing with a mom that has a crack cocaine addiction, it is not an easy life. And I tell anybody, that's why I go around the country and I talk to kids now who are struggling, dealing with parents who have, those type of demons. And so literally, I remember going to boot camp and nervous and scared because I had to complete it. I had to finish it. It was so weird that when you go through boot camp, you do all the stuff you got to do, and then you had a final PT exam, everything else. And I had failed the run literally by 1 second, 3 seconds. And I was like, come on, man, seriously? Seriously, I'm like, dude, I'm 1 second off. You gonna tell me, and I'm like, okay, you know what? My only goal now is to get it done. And I remember going to the last PT exam. I did my push-ups, no problem. I did my pull-ups, no problem. I did my sit-ups, no problem. I did my stretch, no problem. On the run is where I was really worried and concerned about it. And I remember I had a master chief and a senior chief as my company commanders. This little country boy from Albany, Georgia. They flew me all the way to San Diego, California. And everybody knew I had passed everything else. Everybody knew my story. I was the only kid in boot camp who didn't get mail. Only one. And it was like, and it was so crazy because they were like, there's nobody to write to you. I'm like, no, there's nobody to write to me. And so, my biggest thing was just survive this and I'll go and go on. And on that last PT day, I passed everything else. And I remember I was on the run and I was hauling butt. I was doing what I had to do. My thing was to be ahead of the pace that I'd been the last two times. And I felt my legs tighten up because I was getting nervous. And my senior chief ran behind me, and my master chief told him, you could hear him tell him, he said, if you touch him, he's disqualified. He fails boot camp. And so this guy, and I was more scared of the senior chief than I was the master chief. And this guy was barking, 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 barking behind me. And if you know anything about boot camp, when they start barking at you, just like, I just want to get away from you. I just need to leave. Leave me alone. I just need you to leave me alone. And so I actually picked up the pace. I didn't realize how fast I picked up the pace. Went across the finish line, totally exhausted, put my hands on my knees, trying to get my air back. And I look back at him, and the master chief, he's going to give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And I had gotten two thumbs down previously. And so when he put his thumb up, my whole company jumped into this cheer. And it was an amazing moment. I will never forget that moment because I knew I had secured a decent life outside of what I was growing up in and what I was used to. And so, go on, have my Navy career. I did get injured, when I was becoming Arthur. And so now I use my talents for writing to help other veterans. We help veterans, with their bills throughout the year. So what people don't realize is that like 35% of what I pull in from the books, it gets divided between veterans all across this country. And so, I'll get people who say, hey, my dad's a veteran. He's struggling with this or this or that. He needs this. And, they'll send in proof. And, we do the verification and boom, we help. We help. And so, even there were things like we're coming to the part of the year right now. People don't realize that we're 6 months away from Christmas, basically. So everything that we do, basically June, July, and August, that goes to help us, put veterans in hotels for Thanksgiving. And we do that the day before Thanksgiving and during Thanksgiving. And we try to make sure they get that hot shower, that comfortable bed, and that meal. And then we do the same thing for Christmas. And people always ask me, why do you do that? And I'm like, because, I'm in that community. That's my community. That's my community. And so, we never leave anybody behind. And we try to do what we can throughout the year as well. And so it's an amazing thing. We love doing it. I love writing just as much as I love helping my fellow veterans out. And so, that's the biggest thing. I get to do what I love. But what people don't even know sometimes is that I deal with PTSD and anxiety as well. And so the writing helps me. So see, it comes full circle. The writing helps me, then I in turn get to help the veterans. And it just always comes back full circle. And I tell people, it's easy to say what you would do if you had PTSD and anxiety. I can't fly anymore. So everywhere I go, I have to drive. And I tell people, they say, well, just take an anxiety pill before the plane takes off. It doesn't work like that. See, you can't tell me that because when they close that door, that plane, I'm gonna go into a straight anxiety attack. And then it's gonna go from anxiety to panic, and then it's gonna be a wrap. And I lived it. And I thank God, the people on the last time I was on the plane, they understood and they opened the door and let me off. They understood. And but I don't even try it anymore. And so we still have to fight for the respect that we need in this country as veterans because people think, hey, it's all about a handout or whatever else. And unless you've actually been in our boots, you really don't understand. You really don't understand. So that's why I do my best to fight to give back to the veterans as much as I can, do what I can. We also do a lot of stuff for kids. So it's about a continuation of helping people. And I don't think it'll ever stop until the day I go home. Look, that'll be it. When God finally calls me home, that'll be it. I'm just gonna always help, always gonna help, always gonna do what I can. So But I am excited, about the LaCroix Universe. That part's for the adults, the LaCroix Academy, that part's for the kids. The new series, oh my God. Charmcasters. It's in that fantasy era, so it's like it's cool, it's pure magical. I love it, love it, love it. Again, when you love what you do, it doesn't feel like work. And that's the most important thing. And so, I tell anybody, hey, every time you support me, you're supporting veterans all over this country. And that's the biggest thing, because again, you look at the numbers. Why do we have homeless veterans in this country? You look at the numbers, why are veterans who actually get VA disability, why are they struggling? Again, I'm not going to pick a fight with anybody, but what I'm going to say is that, I see so much go out for other things, and I'm like, there's no reason why the veterans shouldn't be double to what they're getting. And until that happens, people like me, we're just going to bridge the gap. We're going to bridge the gap, and that's what I do, hopefully soon, here in Georgia, we're looking at doing a, we're looking at converting a building, and it's going to be for homeless veterans in our area. And so they can actually come there, try to get back on their feet. We got some, interview processes that we'll take them through, try to get them back into, the real world. And so that's my fight. That's my love. And I tell people, it's something you have to do from the heart because, you get veterans who are so used to people looking down on them because they've done it for years. And so now it's like they realize, okay, you're coming to help. Yes, I'm coming to help. I'm not coming to take anything from you. That, there's no trick and pony show here. My biggest thing is help, help, help. That's what I want to do. And so that's what we're doing. We're just going to continue to spread the word about that. Like I said, we use the books to fund it because everybody loves a good book. And you'll be surprised how many people love paranormal and sci-fi fantasy. And like I said, instead of asking for a direct, donation, I say, hey, go buy some books. I even have children's books I wrote my wife. So I tell people, you want to support, go buy some books. Go to Amazon, you can get some books, and everything else will be taken care of. We do it our own. We don't have to worry about the red tape. And see, that's the biggest thing because when a veteran goes to get help, there's so much red tape there. It's like, okay, we'll get back to you in 60 days. Well, you know what? In those 60 days, they still need food. In those 60 days, they still need other stuff. And so with us, because, like I said, I own the company, it's a veteran-owned company, my wife runs it for me. There is no red tape. So if you call me and say, hey, I need this, it's emergency, blah, 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 especially if it comes from somebody who I know, I've worked with in the past, and they say, okay, this is the veteran. I had a single mom, she was a veteran, and she got evicted. They messed up her payments, not on her fault, but they met. And if you know how the VA is, anybody that's listening to this podcast understands, when the VA messes up, it takes them forever to fix it. And so that's why you try to make sure you have all your ducks in a row. We all have that military bearing, and so we try to keep that in place. And so, but as soon as they mess up and it's your money, it's like, well, we'll get it fixed. And it takes them sometimes 6 months to a year to fix their errors, and it's their error. And so, I'm like, this lady is not gonna be on the streets with these two small kids. And so we actually found a guy. He does rental property, and I told him, I said, look, let her stay there. I'm gonna get the cable turned on for the kids to have some cable. We'll get the lights turned on. He said, no, the light's already on. He said, and he told me, he said, I know if you're coming to me, I know it's desperate. I'm like, yes, she needs this place now. And so he said, okay, look, the light's already on. He said, what I'll do is we'll do a month-to-month lease. He says, and I won't charge you up front for anything. And but that's when you work with so many people and people understand what you're trying to do. And so we got her over there. And she was like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, this is where you guys go stay tonight. We had to go get some quick things for the house, but first we start with air mattresses. But hey, it's better to have a roof over your head with air mattresses and food than not have anything. And so we finally got furniture there. And believe it or not, she's thriving now. Got the payments back in place. But what if we weren't there to bridge that gap? And that's the thing, she would have fell by the wayside because, like I said, they tell you in a heartbeat, we'll fix it on our time. And that's the biggest issue, that I have. They make a mistake, they don't want to fix it right away. So It's what I do. It's who I am. So, like I said, I use books to, to help the veterans all over. It's fun. It's exciting. Do we get tired times? Yes. Do we stop? No. Because we have to fill in those gaps. And and if you're in that fight, if you're in that fight, then you understand there are no breaks.
Yep.
You
Absolutely.
know, can I help everybody? I wish I could, but it's like literally I can only do so much. And what hurts me more is when we run low and then somebody comes in and we know they need help. And then I'm on the phone begging, begging, begging people, look, I need help. I need help. I need help. And so again, that's what we're doing. You know, more people are noticing us, more people are paying attention, which is cool. And so like I tell them, here's the crazy thing. One lady was like, okay, I'm going to buy the book. How much are the books? And I said, well, you can buy the ebooks. You know, they're $5 a piece. And she's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, okay, I thought it was going to be 15, 25, 30. I'm like, no. I try to keep everything affordable. But at the same time, this lady went out and bought 10 books of mine. It was an amazing thing. It was an amazing thing. But, like she said, we all throw away $20, $25 a couple of days. And we don't even realize we spent that. And she's like, I get to get some books and my kids get to read. I get to read. And, we're supporting the veterans. And I'm like, yeah, so it shocks people. It shocks people how fast, you can really throw away $20 on something that you really didn't need. And, or you can buy some books. And I tell people, books are everything because they never go away. You get to read them again if you want to. And the kids get to read over and over and over again because, as you know, most kids have those tablets. An Apple tablet, or you have a drone tablet, or a Droid tablet, and you get to put the books on there as well. And that's the coolest thing about it. You get to put it right there, and so they get to see the books over and over and over again. But again, it's just my life mission. It's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep doing it. I won't stop. It's fun, talking to people all across the country. It's even more heartfelt helping the veterans, and then using it to where I don't have to worry about red tape on their side or my side. So it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Well, I obviously you and I just met recently, and one of the first, if not, I think the first conversation we ever had, you were already offering to help with my mission and what I'm doing. And so, I can absolutely vouch for, your good heart and soul and your passion for what you are doing. And, when you talk about you can't help everyone, I think it's incredible when we can all connect. When those of us that have a passion for helping veterans, I'm on the West Coast, you're closer to the East Coast, and we're all helping, we're all playing our part. And if we can all just collaborate together and play our little role, that will turn into something absolutely massive. And so I absolutely appreciate what you're doing. I, in fact, didn't even know the full story of what you're doing until you just now told me. And man, that we need more people like you. So thank you so much for that, because you are truly making a difference and really giving back, but also working in your own personal passion of writing. So I think that's really cool and something that a lot of people can learn. I think growing up, I grew up in the 90s, and a lot of creators were told there's no money in doing insert creativity thing here. My sister, for example, she is an incredible artist. And I remember when she was younger, she would paint and she would draw all the time. And everyone would always say, oh, you can't go to school for art. There's no money in art. And now she does stuff in graphic design and web design, and she still uses the creator skills because we do have space for creators these days. It's a different time, but I love how you not only work in your passion, but you use that passion to give back. I think that's incredible. I did want to ask you, and only answer, of course, if you're comfortable with this, but is the PTSD and the anxiety that you deal with today, did that stem from the military or prior to the military, or is that something you're still figuring out?
No, it came from the military. It's crazy. It's, when you have people above you and they try to take advantage of you, that's what happened to me. And it's like, it's crazy. Guys don't talk about a lot of stuff that happens to them like that, but that's what happened to me. And I tell people all the time, women deal with a lot of stuff, but guys deal with a lot of stuff in the military as well. And so when we deal with that stuff, you got to come to grips with that in reality, and you got to go get help for it because I had a lot of pent up anger and frustration for years. And here I am, and for me, it was a female officer. So I'm enlisted. It's a female officer. And so I went through that drama and trauma with her, and that's what led to everything. And so once they actually finally got to the root of it all, and they saw, what I was telling them, and they start putting the pieces together like a puzzle, and they were like, wow, okay, so he did have to extend his duty station here, but why? Okay, he did go over here, but why? I was literally trying to run from her. And officers have a lot of power. And she used it. And so, again, it caused me a lot of drama and trauma to the point where I was like, I'm just tired. But, being young, you gotta remember I went in the military at 18. I was 18 January 1st, 1990. And I went into the, to the Navy right after that. So, you're 18, you're young, you're very impressionable. People can say what they want to say, but as a young, Navy guy, who's gonna listen to you? And that's the biggest thing because they'll beat you down and tell you, who's gonna listen to you over me? I'm a seasoned person, I've been here for this many years. Who are they gonna believe? And so, you deal with that. And I think that's part of my push to help because, a lot of times veterans need help. And we don't take it seriously, until you see it's too late. And I tell people 22 a day is still an active thing. And so when you deal with that stuff and you're realizing right now, today, 22 veterans are gonna take their lives. 22. 22. You might not know that 22 today. You might know one 6 months from now. You might know one 8 months from now. You might know one 2 years from now. But that 22 a day, think about that. When you start looking at 22, 22, now you're at 44. In 4 days, now you're at 88. You see what I'm saying? Then you go into 120s, you're in 130s, 140s, and that's about a week. Then you look at over 400 a month. So yes, the stuff I do is important. And when I tell people, you buying $10 worth of books is going to help somebody. I mean that because like you said, collectively, imagine this right here. Imagine if 50,000 people all bought two books. You know how many veterans I could actually feed, clothe, put shoes on their feet and everything else? And that's the bigger difference. People think 50,000 is a big number. It really isn't because the moment you tell somebody and they tell somebody and they tell somebody, hey, go to Amazon, get a couple books from this author. He's a veteran also, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, all of a sudden now you got 50, 100,000, 200,000 people. That's 200,000. Think about it. Some cities, their population is 200,000. You're talking about people in different states combining. That's all it takes. Because now the more that comes in and we all collaborate together, just like what you're doing, they come in, they buy books, boom, programs like what you're doing, the events that you're doing, that's an easy ask. It's an easy one. But I always tell people, you have to get out there more and more and more. And so that's why, like, when we talk to other people and we let them know, hey, this veteran got this going on. This is what we're going to do to help. And so imagine now all of a sudden, you don't have to worry about looking for corporate sponsorship on an annual basis now for your event because we got veterans who will go out there and support just because we're both veterans. Then you have civilians who will go out there and they'll support as well. And they're going to tell other people there are over 260 million people in the US that love paranormal, sci-fi, and fantasy. And actually, more when you combine those three different genres. So you're talking about a million plus people when you combine all those genres, a million. Notice now I said there's 260 million that love paranormal. Imagine if only 1 million. That's not 10%. You see what I'm saying? That's not because 10% is 26 million. That's
Right.
not 5%. That's 13 million. We're not even asking for a full 1%. But imagine the impact we'll have. If you say you love veterans, you love support veterans, and you don't have to worry about it, programs like what you're doing, all of a sudden now they're gonna know, hey, that thing is being funded and we're not worried about it anymore. And that's why I try to get people to understand instead of trying to go through the red tape, because some companies will, some companies won't. But imagine all of us combined together and we're saying, hey, we're gonna go, we're gonna support, we're gonna do what we gotta do. Everything is taken care of. The event you got, there's another event in Atlanta. Those events are fully funded now. And we don't have to worry about saying, okay, can we go find this corporate sponsor, this corporate sponsor? No, we just get it funded. And I tell people, even with your event, you can give me props for helping fund it, but I never request it. That's like I tell people all the time. If you want to help me with help veterans, I don't shame people. So no, if you go to my social media page, you won't see me with a picture with a homeless veteran have showing me give him coffee and a sausage biscuit. You won't see me do that because I'm not gonna put no more drama and trauma on that person. They're already struggling. You know, if you're already hungry and you're worried about where your next meal will come from, you know, what good am I doing to go out there and showcase your face, say, hey, look at me, I'm feeding this guy. No. And so I've turned people away and I'm like, I don't want to do that. And like, but it's good for social media. No, it's good for clicks. You're doing it for clicks. I'm not doing it for clicks. I'm doing it from the heart. I'm doing it for the heartbeat. And so no, I tell people plenty of times, and I've had people come back and say, I finally get what you're saying. Yeah, because when you go on social media, you see these people who are doing stuff for homeless people, and they're only doing it for clicks and likes. If the real people who are doing it, we're not doing it for clicks and likes. We're out here trying to make sure these people are eating. We're trying to make sure that they got shoes on their feet because I know what it was like to have shoes with holes in them. So when I see that veteran and you know they're walking around and their shoes are horrible and tore up, I want to be able to go get that veteran a pair of shoes. That's the bigger difference. And so again, collaboration, you'll be amazed at what can actually happen. But then, like I said, we're not saying, hey, give it to us free. No, go get some great books. Go get some great books. And then you're supporting, and now you're getting something for it. And so, you know, again, people are like, well, why would you give away all that? Because I'm doing it from the heart. I'm not doing it for what you're thinking about. I'm doing it from the heart so I can actually help other people. And so, again, think about that 1 million people. It's not hard to reach 1 million people. It's not hard because I guarantee you there are people with small kids. We got Brain and Band friends. If you got teens, I got the Lakota Academy. I got John Castro Academy. If you're an adult, you like to read, I got the Lakota Universe. I got Billionaire Babies. I got all kind of stuff. Even the story I told you, Tracks in My Tears, that's my book about my life. Growing up with my mom, hooked on crack cocaine. We have books for them to actually go get. And at the same time, now you're getting something for what you know you're helping donating to. And so that's that full circle. When I mentioned that earlier, that's how everything comes full circle. Yes, you're buying books. Yes, you get a good read. Now you're helping veterans as well without the red tape. Because if I hear anything about red tape again, I swear I scream sometimes. I literally scream. It irks my skin when the veteran comes and says, well, you know, I'm trying to get this, but they said it'll take, you know, 3 months. That's 90 days. That's 90 days. Okay, what are you going to do in those 90 days? And that's what that, you know, and it irks me because I'm like, I'm sitting here like, you're going home to your house. You're going to have dinner. And how can you go home knowing that you got the stuff on your desk to find out to get this person's stuff done? And I know everybody got a process. Come on, man. Some of these things are emergency situations. And I'm talking about the most critical emergency situations where the veteran has nowhere to go. And they're telling you, I have nowhere to go. I have nothing left. I'm hungry. I don't have a roof over my head. You know, like as hot as it is today, you know, we got some veterans off the street and we got them where they were cooled off. And so this, you know, and this is the part that got me. The guy said, I haven't had a taste of lemonade in over 10 years. Think about something that simple now. He hadn't had a taste of lemonade in over 10 years, something we take for granted, right? He hadn't had a taste of lemonade in over 10 years. 10 years, something that simple, lemonade. So again, you know, I always thank the people who support, you know, we got people who buy books and they donate them to schools, you know, and so they donate them to daycares or donate to the middle schools or high schools. I really don't care how you do it. My goal is to try to get these veterans taken care of, and that's what we do. And so that's where, you know, it comes at because I know when I fought my battle, I remember how difficult it was. And every veteran that has fought that battle, you know, with the government, they know how serious that battle is. You know, it's not where you put the paperwork in and 30 days later, hey, everything's good. No, that thing can go on for years. That thing can go on for years, but we fill the gap. That's what we try to do as best we can. And you're right, collaboration is everything. We collaborate together, we have the power to do everything we want to do. So yes, I'm looking forward to fully funding some events and using books to pay for them. And that's the best thing about it. So, you know, we're gonna keep working that way. We're gonna do what we gotta do. I'm not gonna leave nobody behind.
I love that. And you can truly hear the passion in your voice when you speak about your passion for helping veterans and giving back. I think it's one thing to talk about something, but it's a whole other thing to be passionate about it. And you can truly tell when you speak. And so I appreciate that so much because I too am so incredibly passionate about giving back to the veteran community. And you're right when you say, there's so many barriers to entry. The barrier to entry that I tackle is that mental health piece, right? Where there
Right.
is the 90 days plus for people to get the help. And that's not okay. What I do want to talk about, though, I know you are very, very passionate about helping other people, but I also want to learn a little bit more about you too, because I
Okay.
think that's important. And so you talk about your mom and growing up in a family that was incredibly broken and addiction. And I want to hear about that, how you came out of that. And I know the Navy played a part in it, and you did touch on that a little earlier. But then I also want to hear about how you came about writing your very first book, because it's,
Yeah.
and I know it's not easy to just get out there and write a book. I mean, I've been talking about writing a book for years, and I haven't even done it yet. So I want to hear a little bit more about that, if you don't mind expounding.
Oh no, I'm good with that. Literally, as growing up as a kid, what I was doing with my mom, writing became that outlet for me. Reading became that outlet for me. And so that's how I survived all those early years. And like I said, went in the military, did my thing, got out. When I first put, everything down that I wanted to do, I looked and I was like, there's no way I'm gonna be able to do this, because I look at how all the people who are out there writing books, I'm like, how am I gonna stand out from all of these people? And then I realized it's one reader at a time. It's one reader at a time. And so now when I talk to people and they ask about my story and I tell them, my very first book, I took it chapter by chapter. And I tell them, you got a book in you? Sit down and start writing or typing. Sit down and start writing or typing. And that's how you start the process, because once you start, it will start flowing out of you. Yes, life is going to interrupt you, but then get back to it and do more writing, do more typing. I told one guy, use a tape recorder. Use that mini tape recorder if you got to, and then have somebody type it out for you. Either way, just continue to write. And that's what I do. Now I have this thing down so packed where I'm doing what they call rapid release. So literally, I'm dropping one or two books, sometimes three a month. And it's like, it took me a while to get acclimated to that. But the biggest thing is that now it's like, okay, I know my schedule. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go have my breakfast, have my coffee. I'm going to go back up and do some writing. It's summertime. So obviously my 11-year-old, he wants time. So I said, okay, let daddy write for 2 more hours and then we're gonna have our time. So we do our time, blah, blah, blah. We go from there. And he's like, okay, time to go back. I said, time to go back. And I write some more. Now I take another break and we do some more stuff. And I hope everybody gets a good laugh out of this one. The coolest dang-gone entry song from Disney is Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. I swear on everything, it's like I try to finish up before it comes on, because it comes on all throughout the day during the summertime. And we get to sing that song together, and it's like the happiest, coolest thing in the world. But it's like singing that song with him and him knowing that dad's gonna sing that song with me. He's gonna be coming out anytime now. And so I time it right before that song comes in. And sometimes I go a little over, he'll pause the TV and he'll wait for me. He said, okay, dad is here. And so when we sing the song and we watch a couple episodes and we do what we gotta do. It's fun. Like I said, I got it well balanced. My wife helps me keep it well balanced, but it's about writing, 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 because the more books I can put out there, the more people have to choose from, the more they have to continue to read. And that's my biggest thing. I am so far advanced to where I was when I started in 2008. It's like, again, aging. 2008 is when I released the very, very first book. And it's like, now you're looking at 2023 and I'm like, whereas in, I got over 50 books on Amazon, and it's just amazing. I'm just sitting back here like, there are times that I look back and I'm like, wow. Because last year I think I did like 15 books, and this year I'm probably going to be closer to 20. And it's because, once you actually perfect the craft, then you know what you got to do to go there, and it's just a process. But for me, it's about the love of the twists and the turns and the arc of the story. And how can I make the reader smile and laugh and then make them cry, but then make them come back and say, I gotta find out what happens next. So I've actually got the art of cliffhangers down really, really well. And my readers, they're like, dude, okay, you left me hanging right here. I know. I know. I left you hanging here, but I did it on purpose. And so I don't mind in the adult series, I don't mind killing anybody. It's like any character can get it. And I tell them all the time, any character can get it. Doesn't matter. With the kids, there are a couple deaths in there. And I want but people always ask me, well, what would you recommend it be like? And I'm like, well, it's the Lacrotum Academy, it's almost like, it's in that genre with Harry Potter and everything else, but it gives people a different feel for it because I want everybody to be feel like, we're involved. And so for the first time, there's a girl on the cover and she's in a wheelchair. It's never been done before. It's never been done for a paranormal. I put a girl in a wheelchair there, and I did that for this young lady who actually wrote me an email. And she was like, they never represent us. We might get in a story every now and then, but we never, never, never get a chance to be seen. And I put the young lady in a wheelchair on the cover. And she was just so blown away from that. And it means a lot to people. It means a lot to people that they can see themselves, on the cover, not just in between the pages, on the cover. And so every day it's a process. I think I write probably 5.5, 6 days a week. I know it's 6 days a week during non-football season. When football season kicks in, it's like 5.5 days. I take a half day and I divide it. And so I'm trying to sneak in football and everything else. And I'm like, and then if the games are boring, guess what? I'm going back to writing. If the games are boring, I'm going back to writing. I'm like, look, this game, boy, it's already going to be a blowout. Let me go back and write some more. And so that's me. That's me in a nutshell. I'm just this fun guy. I believe in taking care of my veterans. I believe in taking care of my family. I think the funniest thing is that I think my 11-year-old has military bearing already because he has a calendar in his room. And like we take trips. And so we tell him early, he's going to go start marking down every day until the trip comes up. And so sometimes we can't tell him till like 2 or 3 days, out of the trip because he'll come back. So you sure we can't go early? You sure we can't go early? No, we can't go early. He said, well, we can stay a couple extra days if you want. So we don't tell him anymore now. And he's got a trip coming up. And when he finds out, trust me, it's going to be 72 hours of, I know we're going. So what can we do right now? What can we go? Can I get this? Can I do this? And again, it's all about the family. It's about the fun. I love making memories. And that's the biggest thing, having those memories, keeping those memories where it's there. And we're good to go from there. But that's me in a nutshell. I'm a guy. I love football. I love watching it. I love yelling about it. I love watching cartoons. I tell people, find that inner child and you'll never have a boring day. Find the inner child, you never have a boring day. And so I incorporate the cartoons with him so I get to watch cartoons and laugh with him. But that's me. That's me in a nutshell. It's like,
I love
it's
it.
who I
I love
am.
it. So it sounds like you are a full-time writer now, and that is your life. And I think that's incredible. And I can appreciate that because I also am an entrepreneur all the way. That's what my family does. And then I have a young daughter. She's a year and a half in a few days. And I can appreciate that being able to be there for family moments, even things as little as like singing a song together, right? Or a dance party or something that not every family gets to have, because some people do have to work a W-2 job or multiple jobs. And I've been there in my life before where I had to work multiple jobs before being a mom, but I've been there before and I know how tough it can be. So when you first left the military, were you an entrepreneur right away, or did you work a job and then get to that point? And then if you were not an entrepreneur right away, talk me through that mental process of like getting into entrepreneurship, because I know how difficult it can be for some people.
Ooh, child. Okay, this is where the PTSD was kicking my behind, and I didn't even realize what the hell was going on. I guess you can say, in the words of Major Payne, I had attitudinal problems. And so I would go to a job and work a job, and I'm not gonna sit back and watch somebody I know get mistreated. And so of course, you know what happens then. Hey, you're the new guy. Why are you sticking up for this guy? This guy's got more years on the job than you, but you're doing him wrong. You're actually, abusing your authority, blah, blah, blah. That's the military in us. And so, I went job, 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 job. And then it's like, When I really sat down and started talking about, let me put these books out here. And that's what kicked off the entrepreneur thing, because then I didn't have to worry about looking at somebody mistreat somebody. Because that's why I lost those jobs. Because, I'm not gonna sit around and watch you mistreat somebody, especially I'm gonna see it, I'm gonna say something. And so I tell people, boy, the entrepreneur side, it will kick your butt. You'll be having a great day, and then all of a sudden, here comes that unexpected expense, and bam! Now you got to figure out how to move A to B, and you got to move C to Z, and you're like, okay, I got to bring Y back over here because in 2 weeks I got to take care of this. It is crazy. It is not for the faint of heart. Most people think it's easy, just start doing something, pay taxes. Nah, it's crazy because, even competition is even more fierce. When I jumped into the paranormal side, and this is funny because this is even years after me being established, I had people coming at me like, why are you in my genre? I don't think you own this genre. And so they're like, well, and this one lady, she just told me, she's like, well, I'm not used to seeing people like you in my genre. It's not your genre. And I said, okay, let's take this offline. I said, here's my number, call me. I'm that military guy. Here's my number, call me. If you're that bold, call me. And she literally got bold and she called. And she was like, go back to the street stuff and the regular romance, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm gonna write in paranormal. I'm gonna write in paranormal. It's funny because if you look on my Facebook page, I literally got paranormal authors who love what I do. But then every now and then I'll post an email from one of the readers who's like, I didn't expect to get a great story from you. And so it was like, I sit back and I laugh because I'm like, I'm experienced at this. Why didn't you expect to get a good story from me? But I don't hit them with that anymore. I just smile. They come and they'll attack you different ways. And that's the part about entrepreneurship. Competition is everything. Some people feel like I got to tear you down so I can go up. You don't have to tear nobody down. Remember, if you go back, I told you over 260 million paranormal readers. You're not going to get every paranormal reader. You're not going to get every sci-fi fantasy reader. Where we can lift each other up, and that's what we're starting to you're starting to see more of that now, the collaboration of authors, because like I know some authors, they love to co-write books together. They call it anthropology. I do not want to be in nobody's anthropology because I've seen the fighting that goes on in there, because you gotta remember, you're only getting this small of a cut. Amazon's getting their cut. And so this right here is being divided between 8, 9, 10 authors. And so I've seen how cutthroat it gets. Literally on Zoom calls, we were like, well, my part of the story was 4 pages longer than yours, and I was 2 paragraphs more than you, and I should get this. And I'm like, woo, no. Pull my name out of that. I don't want nothing to do with that. Pull my story. I'm good. I don't want to be involved. And that's part of the entrepreneur thing. You try to expand and try to, go and do what you got to do. And it shocks people. It shocks people. Like, I think my last. There's 6 Academy books out for Lacrotum, and the last 5 of them have all hit number one in different categories. And so people are like, okay, when are you going to publish? I don't want to publish when you publish because I know people are going to run to your books. And I tell them, I don't know. I don't know. And so I keep that answer that way. It's very simple. I don't want people trying to go around. I'm going to release my book. And I'm like, but readers are going to pick up your stuff as well. Stop trying to actually circumvent the system. Drop your book. Be proud enough of your book. Put enough effort into your book. And then guess what? You're going to get what you deserve anyway. That's the biggest difference. But entrepreneurship is crazy. Thank God my wife handles a ton of that for me. I don't have to worry about that. As you know yourself, she will get in there. She will drop stuff and do stuff. And she'll get people their promo videos and emails and pictures and bios. She'll do all that for me. And it keeps me away from that stressful side. That's a very stressful side of it. I get to do the interviews and do the writing, and I'm good to go. And because entrepreneurship is not for the weak. If you are thin-skinned, entrepreneurship is not for you. Let me go ahead and tell you right now, because people will say what they want to say. People will give you bad reviews just because. People will try to slander your name. I think that was it was funny. It was a lady. She was on one of the interviews, and they joke about time people will satirize your name. And I'm like, satirize? How do people satirize your name? And you think about it, they will try to satirize your name. I'm like, I never knew that was a word as a wordsmith, but it makes sense though. And see, you know, they will try that, but once you get past all that, you know, it has its perks because again, you get to hang with the wife and the kids, you get to hang with your daughter, you get to hang with your family. You know, it makes life better. You know, you and your husband get to go with it. And that's what I love about for us, you know, like we got a short weekend getaway coming. And I tell her all the time, those mini getaways, they literally mentally save us. Because now we're not just stuck in the house. Because yes, you can sit in the house, but you literally have to get out of your own environment sometimes. Take a deep breath and go from there. You know, and I'm a Navy guy. So of course, you know, I love the water. So, you know, we go to the water as much as we can because it helps me out. But trust me, entrepreneurship, man, I tell people, boy, you better have some thick skin, thick as that bacon they try to give us in boot camp sometimes, because they will come at you. And I tell anybody that's ever been to boot camp and you ain't had no thick meat, whether it's bacon or whatever else, that mystery meat try to give you, then you know, did you really go to boot camp? Did you really go to boot camp? Because I know for a fact there was a couple of holidays you sit back and you're like, they got a holiday meal, and you're like, yeah. It ain't nothing like your family cooking. You sit back and you're like, man, what is this mess y'all trying to give me? This ain't no Thanksgiving food, man. And you're sitting there with 200, 300 people, y'all eating in the chow hall or the mess hall, and you're like, I miss home. But then you know you're saving those vacation days for something, hopefully in the summer or whatever else, or Christmas. But man, entrepreneurship, you got to be ready, man.
Oh yeah, I agree. And, you know, it's a learning curve every day, I swear. And it keeps me on my toes for sure. And it brings up all the childhood trauma that I need to deal with and all the other things. And so I get it when you say that. It really resonates with me. And I'm sure other people that are listening. I do want to get into the books that you have, if you wouldn't mind just explaining. You kind of touched on it earlier. But I would love to, if you could talk about the books that you have available and then also talk about what you have coming up, because I know a really exciting trailer just released for you. And I
Yes.
want you to share that with the people. So this is
Yes.
your time to highlight your books for the people and tell them where they can find the books. You said Amazon, I
Okay.
believe, but yeah,
Yeah,
go ahead.
Amazon, they can find all the books on Amazon. All the books are there. They can search me, Mansfield T. Peterson. For those that listen, that's Manswell T. Peterson. The Crotum Universe for the adults. Again, anybody can get it, anybody can die. This is for adults 18 and above. So obviously, you know, it's everything's in there, from the hot spicy to the murders to the drama. And what I did was I took paranormal to a modern day fit on this one. So it's like literally you're gonna see them driving fancy cars and you know, living their best life and everything else. But you know, I did put a little, you know, Civil War in there just to throw some spice and everything else in there. But then you look at the academy side, and this is where, you know, I really took it personal. It's for the kids. I snuck life lessons in there. So the kids are reading, and I snuck life lessons in there. And we talk about everything from bullying to body shaming, you know, to about making friends, about prejudging people. It's so wonderful when the parents start reading with their kids and they're realizing, you know, you snuck all that in there. Yes, I did. I snuck it all in there. And the kids don't even realize it until it's too late. Now you're in love with the characters. And that's Lacrotum Academy. So Lacrotum Universe has two sides. You know, I'm the first guy to actually have a named universe, I think, in the last 25, 30 years now. And so there are 11 books in the universe. There are 6 books in the Academy. Number 7 is coming. But the biggest one that was everybody was anticipating is Charmcaster's Academy. And that's the one that's full of magic. That's the trailer you saw. So you know, I tell everybody, hey, share the trailer, share the trailer. Everybody's loving it because it is pure magic. I'm just gonna say, you know, when you see the unicorns come out in the first couple of chapters, you're gonna be like, wow, are you serious, dude? Yes, there are unicorns there. Yes, because I like to write about stuff that I love to read about. And so you're gonna see unicorns. You're gonna see unicorns. They can find me on Facebook under Mansfield T. Peterson. They can find me on Instagram under Mansfield T. Peterson. They can find me on TikTok under Mansfield T. Peterson. So it's fun. I do talk to the readers a lot. And so some of them will actually send me an email or they'll just send a message like, I would love to talk to you about this character. And I'm like, okay, sure, send me a number. And I have a dedicated phone just for readers. And I'll actually call them, and they're like, "You're not gonna call me." And I said, "You sitting by your phone?" "Yes, I'm dialing right now. I'm dialing from this area code. This is the number call." And they're like, "Holy crap, you're really gonna call me?" "Yes, I'm gonna call you. Yes, I'm gonna call you. We're gonna talk about it." And so the readers get a kick out of that because I try to do about 2 hours a week with that. And so they honestly get a kick out of that. It doesn't matter what time zone. I stayed up and talked to readers in Japan, some of the military people over there. And so they were like, "Dude, this is so cool." And I'm like, "Yeah, it's cool. I remember being overseas, and I know it's like, your time is off so bad, and you miss a lot of stuff in what they call the lower 48. So, hey, I'm here. We have fun." But Charmcasters is an amazing, amazing, magical series. The kids are gonna love it. Ages 11 and up for the academies. There is no sex in my academies. And so, but because some readers, some authors do put sex in their academies, and parents are caught off guard with that. I like to call my books parent friendly. So if you see the words academy in anything I wrote, it's parent friendly. And so now the parents are getting used to that, and so they're loving it. But again, I challenge everybody, hey, share that new book trailers out there. Tell everybody about the Lacrotum Academy. We have another series that Braden the Baron Friends, and it is so interesting how the younger kids are just drafting to that. So they're drifting right to that story. And so there are five books out in that series. I wrote that with my wife, and she loves it. It's based on our 11-year-old son, how kind and loving he is, because he does have a learning disability, but he's the sweetest kid you ever know. And so we based it off how he is with everybody that he sees. And so it's fun, it's creative. As you can see, we got stuff for the entire family. And the cool thing is that you're buying these books for entertainment, and at the same time, you're buying these books and it's helping maintain life for my veterans over here. So it's fun. Again, like I said, for me, it's all about, taking care of my family, but taking care of the veterans also. And that's what makes it fun.
I love it. Well, anyone that is listening to this, please make sure you go check out the books. Like he said, there's something for the entire family. So if you are in the position where you can support, or I know I'm going to check out some books for me. I'm going to check out some books for my daughter. She loves to read as well. So I'm really excited about that. And I hope that if you're listening to this, that you also, if you can't support by buying yourself, share it, because you never know who you have in your network that might gain value from this, or maybe they are just as passionate about this mission as Manswell and I am, and want to support the veteran side of things by purchasing books. And so please, please, please make sure you check that out. I will put everything in the show notes for anyone that wants a direct link to the Amazon links for these books, and you can go directly to that and support the mission and everything that Manswell is doing. So Manswell, I really appreciate you coming on the show today. The last thing I'm going to ask you is if there's any last words or advice that you want to give the listeners today.
Remember that even in the darkest nights, the sun will always come out in the morning. Just survive. Just survive. That's all you got to do. If you survive to the morning, you survive the new day, and guess what? You got a chance. And that's all it takes is a chance. You get a chance, you can do anything. That's what I always tell everybody when I leave.
Thank you for taking the time to listen in today. With your support, we are able to increase awareness of the mental health issues affecting service members and veterans today, with the goal of creating positive change. If you got value from this episode, please take 30 seconds to subscribe and share this episode within your own network. Until next time, remember, your story matters, your mental health matters, and your story doesn't end here.